Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Nathan Clark left England and moved to the sunny Cayman Islands with his fiancée when he suddenly vanished on a night out with friends. On February 25th, 2012, 31-year-old Nathan Clark went out for a sunset drink with his fiancée and friends who were visiting from out of town. They were standing on the beach when they realized Nathan was no longer with them, and he was never seen again. What happened to Nathan Clark? Grand Cayman is the largest of the three Cayman Islands and is a British overseas territory located in the Caribbean Sea. Fun fact, Christopher Columbus first spotted the Cayman Islands on his fourth voyage to the New World in 1503. And he named them Las Tortugas, due to the large number of sea turtles. The first recorded settlers were a mixture of pirates, shipwrecked sailors, and deserters from Oliver Cromwell's army in Jamaica in the late 1600s. Now, the islands were a popular haunt for pirates during the 17th and 18th centuries due to their remote location and abundant resources. Now, I can only imagine what the island was like back then with all those pirates. The economy was originally based on fishing, turtling, and some agriculture. But the 20th century saw a significant shift from an economy based on seafaring and agriculture to tourism and financial services. This prompted the development of roads, airports, and modern amenities, which helped boost tourism and international business. Now, Grand Cayman is a major tourist destination and an important global financial center, known for its offshore banking and investment services. It's evolved from a remote island with a pirate history to a modern, thriving hub of tourism and finance. And Nathan wasn't exactly on vacation when he disappeared, but instead he was living in Grand Cayman for several years because it's a fairly simple process for UK citizens to move to the Cayman Islands. But they don't automatically have the right to live there permanently. Instead, they need to apply for a visa, such as a golden visa, which can be obtained through investment in real estate or local business. Also, a UK citizen can visit the Cayman Islands without a visa for up to 6 months for business or tourism. After 6 months, you can apply for an extension, and those applications are considered on a case-by-case basis. Although working, studying, or requesting residence does have different requirements. Nathan went missing along Seven Mile Beach, which is a stretch of coastline on the western shore of Grand Cayman. Despite the name, Seven Mile Beach is actually about 6.3 miles long and a popular destination for tourists and locals. There are a lot of activities along this stretch of beach, like swimming, snorkeling, paddleboarding, and jet skiing. The waters are normally calm, and it's a favorite spot for snorkeling. The beach is also lined with numerous luxury resorts, hotels, and condos. There are a variety of restaurants, bars, and cafes offering beachfront dining with a view. The beach is well-maintained and known for its cleanliness, and famous for the breathtaking sunsets and romantic settings. Now, like most islands, the beaches are the main attractions. Grand Cayman has amazing diving spots, including the Kittiwake Shipwreck, Marine Park, and coral reefs at Bloody Bay Wall. One popular and unique attraction is Stingray City. It's a large bay on the northern coast of the island. The area consists of a series of shallow sandbars where southern stingrays naturally congregate because fishermen originally used the area to clean their catch, which attracted the stingrays looking for scraps. Over time, the stingrays became accustomed to human presence and interaction. Now, visitors can stand, swim, and snorkel in shallow waters, typically 2 to 4 feet deep, and interact with the friendly stingrays. The stingrays glide through the water, allowing visitors to touch and even feed them. There are guided tours that are safe and enjoyable for both visitors and stingrays. If you go, be sure to book tours in advance, especially during peak tourist seasons. And be sure to follow the guidelines provided by the tour operators, like not lifting stingrays out of the water, avoiding sudden movements, and respecting the wildlife in its natural environment. There is also a bioluminescent bay in Grand Cayman, where visitors can see the glowing bioluminescent organisms. There are kayak and boat tours that offer the chance to see this rare natural phenomenon. I kayaked in a bioluminescent bay while I was in Puerto Rico, and it was well worth it. If you're into the strange and unusual, like myself, you can visit Hell while you're in Grand Cayman. Poking out from the lush surroundings on the island is a small patch, no bigger than a soccer field, of rough black limestone formations referred to as Hell. It was created by salt and lime deposits over 24 million years ago. And today, it's a tourist attraction. Men dressed as the devil roam the gift shop, and Club Inferno serves as the location's top watering hole. There's even a post office where you can send friends and relatives postcards from Hell, which I would definitely do. So let's get into the case. Who exactly was Nathan Clark, and what was he doing in Grand Cayman?
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm John.
We're the hosts of Sins and Survivors, a Las Vegas true crime podcast. Each week, we cover current cases in the news, as well as cold cases and missing persons, but there's a twist.
Our focus is primarily on crimes with a domestic violence component while remaining centered on the victims and the families they leave behind, and also providing victims with resources.
We're focused on Las Vegas, but as we'll remind you in every episode, what happens here happens everywhere. Visit sinsandsurvivors.com to listen now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Nathan Clark grew up in Cheltenham with his parents Elizabeth and Randall, his brother Dan, and his sister Samantha. He was a cute, popular kid and a Cheltenham rugby player. Now, Cheltenham is a small town in Gloucestershire, England, with several rugby clubs, the most prominent being Cheltenham Rugby Club, which competes in regional and national leagues. Players in these clubs range from amateur to semi-professional, and they participate in various rugby union competitions. Nathan met his fiancée, Lisa, in Cheltenham, and they were together for 4 years before she got a job offer in the Cayman Islands in 2008. Nathan loved to travel and was very adventurous, so when she told him she was moving, he had no question about going there with her. He jumped at the chance. And moving to an island was perfect for him. He absolutely loved being on the water, so there's no better place than a tropical island for that. He was a fantastic kayaker, and he loved windsurfing and sailing. Moving to the Cayman Islands was a dream for Nathan. When he arrived, he took a job working on the beach with a water sports operator because he loved working with and being around people. Everyone loved him, and he made a lot of friends on the island. Nathan was a very kind and genuine person. He had a zestful energy and love of life that couldn't be contained. He was known for his love of fun, his joy, and his energy, which is why so many people were inspired by him and drawn to him. Nathan was a very easygoing and extremely likable person. After staying in the Cayman Islands for about 3 years, the couple decided to stay longer and put down some roots. Nathan chose to switch jobs, and because he loved kids, he looked for a teaching job. He started working at Cayman Prep and High School as a teacher's assistant in September of 2011. He also began studying for a qualification in education so he could become a full-time teacher. And his fiancée, Lisa, was also working as a teacher on the island. Lisa and Nathan were together for 8 years, living the dream, when some friends from out of town were visiting, and that's when Nathan seemingly vanished into thin air. Let's get into what we know about his disappearance after a message from these sponsors.
Are you into podcasts about missing people, cold cases, and true crime? I'm Renee Robertson, host and creator of the podcast Missing in the Carolinas. The show is an original podcast that features people you might have heard of, such as Heather Elvis, who went missing from South Carolina in December of 2013. And others you might not have heard of, like Enrique Roman Martinez, who disappeared while camping with fellow soldiers from Fort Bragg at the Cape Lookout National Seashore Memorial Day weekend 2020. I also dig deep into the news archives for stories like Diane Gabriel, the North Carolina real estate agent who vanished after making an appointment to look at a house on the shores of Lake Norman in 1983. Look for Missing in the Carolinas wherever you get your podcasts.
Nathan and Lisa were both on holiday from work the week that some friends from out of town decided to visit. That Saturday night, February 25th, 2012, the group went to the bar Calico Jack's to have drinks and watch the sunset. Calico Jack's was a very popular bar with locals and tourists on 7 Mile Beach. It was a typical indoor-outdoor style palapa right on the beachfront. Most people went to Calico Jack's for a bite to eat, a drink, and a nice view. It's a beachy party bar, open sides with a wooden floor, columns, beams, and a thatched roof. So you can see the beach just a few feet away with an unobstructed view. The bar closed down in April of 2020 due to the lack of tourism from the pandemic. After it fell into disrepair, the owner got a new partner, and it was reborn as Bonnie Moon Beach Club. Keeping with the pirate theme, it was named after Anne Bonny, one of the few female pirates in documented history. A celebrated free spirit and the fearless partner in crime and lover of the infamous pirate John Rackham, also known as Calico Jack. So that night, the group was drinking at Calico Jack's, but Nathan only had a few beers. At about 8:30, the group was outside on the beach, with Nathan standing in about a foot of water. There were no big waves, and the water was very calm. The group started walking toward the bar to order another round of drinks. Lisa said she turned around for about 5 minutes, and when she turned back, Nathan was gone. Nathan wasn't drunk and wouldn't walk off on his own without telling someone. He also wasn't seen speaking to anyone on the beach, and although it was dark, it was fairly quiet with few people around and no loud music playing. If Nathan had yelled for help, someone would have heard it. One of the visiting friends said, Nathan walked down to the water's edge. He was standing about a foot deep in the water, which was flat and calm. I asked his fiance to ask Nathan what he wanted to drink. She walked back to where he was, and she came back to the bar to say she couldn't find him. He disappeared in that short space of time. It was less than 5 minutes. We all went to have a look, and he was nowhere to be seen. Lisa said, literally after just a couple minutes, I turned back around and he had gone. And from that minute on, he was nowhere to be seen. He was just there, and then he was gone. He just disappeared. We just don't know what could have happened. Right away, Lisa tried calling and texting Nathan to find out where he went, but her calls went straight to voicemail. The group asked around, they looked for him, but no one saw where Nathan went. They started searching for him almost immediately, but there were no clues. It was as if he just vanished into the night. Another friend told the media, "The only thing I can think of is it's some kind of abduction. If it had been an accident, then we would have found him by now. We have scoured the area with a fine-tooth comb. There must be something malicious down the line." A few days after his disappearance, Lisa told the media, "It just doesn't seem like it's real. I keep expecting that he's going to walk through the door. I'm really worried that he's injured somewhere, and we really need to get help to him quickly. He was perfectly happy and having a good time. There's no reason for him to walk away on his own." And guys, the searches for Nathan were extensive. Hundreds of locals, vacationers, and police officers were searching land and sea with absolutely no clues at all. He was only wearing a pair of beige board shorts and flip-flops, carrying his phone, wallet, and sunglasses. Authorities took Nathan's disappearance very seriously. While searching the island and the water, they also looked through his phone records and all CCTV in the area. The last call made from Nathan's phone was at 8:07 to 8:09 p.m. on that Saturday night. After that, there was no activity on the phone at all. But there was renewed hope when they found that his last phone signal was at 1 a.m. on Monday morning. After that, they determined the battery had gone dead or the phone was broken. With that renewed hope, authorities combed through hours of CCTV footage looking for any sign of Nathan. The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service, or RCIPS, said, "Despite examining hours of CCTV footage from West Bay Road, no sign of Nathan leaving the beach area on the roadway on Saturday, February 25, 2012, has ever been found." But his friends and family felt there had to be a possibility of an abduction. How else could he just disappear like that? But Cayman Islands Superintendent Marlon Bowden said, "We have no evidence to suggest that Nathan has been abducted. It is not a regular thing that happens in the Cayman Islands, and whenever it happens, we are not scared to tell the public." 4 days after Nathan went missing, his phone was found. It had been handed in to police after it was found by a passenger on a cruise ship who was snorkeling in the area. Examination of the phone confirmed it was Nathan's. A spokesperson told the media that it was found about 50 meters offshore in about 10 feet of water. They said no other property was found, and still, no trace of Nathan had been found despite extensive searches. But guys, if his phone was found in the water, how was it pinging cell towers early Monday morning? It wasn't a waterproof case, But that only keeps the phone intact. If the phone is under 10 feet of water, it won't get service. After Nathan's phone was found, authorities concentrated their search to that area of the ocean, assuming he drowned and that's how his phone got into the water. 18 officers and 35 civilian volunteers continued with a water-based search off Seven Mile Beach, with divers and snorkelers searching for any trace of Nathan or his property. And nothing has ever been found. His black fossil wallet, his flip-flops, and his sunglasses are still missing. 1 week after Nathan went missing, his parents and siblings arrived in Grand Cayman, telling the media, "We are flying to Grand Cayman to work alongside police, friends, and volunteers in their tireless search to find Nathan. We are staying positive that he will be found, despite searches predominantly taking place in the ocean at this time. Nathan is much loved by friends on the island and back in the UK, and we are still confident and praying that he will be found safe and well." On the Saturday they arrived, a search along Seven Mile Beach area began with 527 volunteers and 39 police officers. But still, no clues were found. And unfortunately, the next day, the water search was stopped due to prevailing weather conditions. Soon, the land searches officially stopped because the only evidence the police had was the phone in the water, so they felt they should concentrate their searches there. But Nathan's family continued their unofficial searches inland because they just didn't feel he went into the water, and there was no further evidence that he did or didn't. On March 9th, using donations made from around the world to help find Nathan, his family was able to bring in their own private search dogs. They found two search and rescue dogs from Miami, which were taken out in boats when they arrived. But after finding no more clues, on March 12th, all the searches were officially called off. Authorities said they would keep the case open, but the land and sea searches were over. At this point, Nathan's sister, Samantha, wrote on the Find Nathan Facebook page, "It is with great sadness and heavy heart that I confirm that the land and sea searches have been called off. The highly intensive and thorough police search and specialized dog search teams, both the police and private, failed to find any evidence to explain his sudden disappearance. The police have assured us, however, that they will remain very active in this case and be issuing posters detailing Nathan's missing personal items, asking islanders and tourists to remain vigilant and report to them any information about the same." And in a press conference, while leaving the island after the search was called off, his family released this statement: "We leave here feeling numb and hopeless, but take with us an understanding of Nate's life here. The love and respect you all have for him gives us hope that answers will soon be found." After 2 weeks of intensive searching by police and hundreds of volunteers on land and sea, there has been no positive indication of his whereabouts, and so he remains a missing person. 2 years after Nathan's disappearance, the family told the media that they've had to accept that they would never get any answers about what happened. And that is absolutely heartbreaking for a family, to think they will never find out where their loved one is or what happened to them. After Nathan disappeared, his mother had several health problems, but still made fairly regular updates on the Find Nathan Facebook page to say that there were, in fact, no updates, and they would have to wait 7 years to receive a death certificate. On February 25th, 2018, 6 years after the disappearance, she wrote, "Hello to all Nate's lovely friends. 6 years and nothing to tell. It is still a mystery as to what happened that night. There must be someone who knows something. However small the information might be, it could be the key that unlocks the mystery. What was his mood that night, as it was so out of character for him to go into the water in the dark and not saying anything to anyone? Water was his life. He loved his work at Tiki Water Sports, and if he had still been working there, I believe he would still be with us. His dad, Randall, is now unwell, He is at home but reliant on oxygen 24/7. So no way we will be coming to the UK. I was thinking that when the 7 years are up, maybe some of you would be able to come here for a week of remembrance. Plenty of space for camping, and I know 2 bands for music. If anyone has information, however small, contact the Cayman police. Light a candle today to show Nate the way home. So sad. We must keep him in our hearts. But unfortunately, there was no law in Grand Cayman saying that after 7 years missing, they could obtain a death certificate. So on his 8th year missing anniversary, his mom had to have her attorney apply to a Cayman court for a presumption of death certificate. Finally, on the 9th year anniversary, his mom let everyone know that she was granted a presumption of death order under a new legislation that became a law on the island. There has never been any clues found, other than Nathan's phone in the water. Although at this point, if his body was in the water, he would likely never be found. Unless he was never in the water. This case is an absolute mystery, and there are a few theories. Let's take a look.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a 4-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The prevailing theory is that Nathan drowned. But his family never fully accepted that explanation because Nathan was a strong swimmer. Also, he was standing in a foot of water. There was no drop-off, no cliffs, and nowhere he could have fallen in and drowned. The ocean was calm that night. There were no riptides and no big waves. The beach was quiet and people were around, but no one heard or saw anything at all. If there was a problem in the water, wouldn't someone hear Nathan call for help? Some people brought up the idea that maybe Nathan wanted to go for a quick night swim. But he had his phone, wallet, shoes, and sunglasses on him. No one is going swimming with their phone and wallet, and if he put his things on the beach, someone would have found them. Could a boat have come up and taken him? That's unlikely. Someone would have seen or heard a boat coming. Lisa only looked away for a few minutes. That's not enough time for a boat to secretly arrive and take Nathan away. And if it was a boat abduction, I think Nathan would have screamed for help. Several people brought up the idea of a shark attack. But if a shark had attacked him, some part of him would have remained in the water, or there would have at least been blood in the water. And while there are sharks in the waters around Grand Cayman, they are generally not a cause for concern. We're not talking about the great whites here, especially in 1 foot of water. There are reef sharks that are commonly seen by divers, but they are not aggressive. There are nurse sharks that are often found resting on the ocean floor, but they are mostly docile and pose little threat to humans. There are also lemon sharks, but again, they aren't aggressive. The only things that could possibly cause death would be a stingray, but fatal stingray injuries are very rare. They do have Portuguese man-of-war jellyfish, but they are only potentially fatal if someone has an allergic reaction. Is it possible that Nathan ran into one of these animals and had some type of reaction? It's possible, but unlikely, because even if he did, I think he would have made some type of noise. Also, he was on the shore. If he got hurt and fell, it would take a while for his body to be washed out, and he only disappeared in minutes. Other than drowning, an explanation of how Nathan could have ended up in the water is sudden adult death syndrome. And that simply refers to the unexpected death of an apparently healthy adult, usually under the age of 40, and often during sleep or rest. Some causes are cardiac arrest due to undetected heart conditions, genetic heart disorders, or cardiomyopathies. If Nathan had some kind of medical emergency and suddenly died, it's possible his body was carried out to sea. But I still think they would have found some part of him or his wallet or his flip-flops if that was the case. But what if Nathan never ended up in the water? Only his phone did. Authorities checked all the CCTV footage in the area and never saw Nathan. But it's possible he somehow took a path that was not picked up on CCTV footage. Of course, that would just add to the mystery. Where could he have gone? It's an island. And how was he never found? That leaves us with foul play. Could someone out there know exactly what happened to Nathan? It's a possibility. But if Nathan was abducted, the question is why and where is he now? There was never a ransom, and nothing from Nathan was ever found. No one ever mentioned Nathan having any enemies. Of course, there could have been some kind of altercation at some point and someone held a grudge. Seizing an opportunity to confront Nathan, something went wrong, but again, unlikely. To be honest, this is a complete mystery to me. But I think somehow Nathan ended up in the ocean. I just can't say how. I hope that if anyone knows what happened to Nathan, they choose to come forward to bring his family and friends peace.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Overall, Grand Cayman and the Cayman Islands are a really safe place to visit. There just aren't a lot of dangers there, as long as you know what to look out for. Water safety is always important when visiting an island. Some beaches have strong currents and riptides, so always make sure to swim in designated areas and pay attention to local advisories and warning signs. And the marine life in that area is generally safe. But there are a few creatures you want to watch out for. Stepping on a stingray can result in a painful sting, so shuffle your feet in the sand to avoid stepping on them. If you do get stung by one, first get out of the water to avoid getting stung again. Apply pressure to the wound with a clean cloth or bandage to control bleeding. Then try soaking the affected area in hot water for about 30 to 90 minutes. The heat helps to neutralize the stingray venom and reduce pain. Make sure the water is as hot as you can tolerate without causing burns. Once the pain subsides, clean the wound with soap and fresh water. But don't use alcohol or hydrogen peroxide because it can actually damage the tissue and delay healing. If there are any visible stingray barb fragments in the wound, try to remove them with tweezers. But if they're in too deep, seek medical help for this. Put some antibiotic ointment on the wound to prevent infection. Watch for allergic reactions like difficulty breathing, swelling of the face or throat, and rapid heartbeat. It's extremely rare to be allergic, but it can happen. Also watch for signs of infection, like increased redness, swelling, warmth, pus, and fever. And even if the wound seems minor, it's important to check in with a medical professional. Lionfish have venomous spines that can cause painful stings, so avoid touching those as well. If you get stung, the steps are the same as getting stung by a stingray. Jellyfish and Portuguese man-of-war stings can be painful and potentially dangerous. The steps here are a little different. Once you're out of the water, rinse the affected area with seawater, not freshwater, to remove any remaining tentacles. Freshwater can trigger the release of more venom. Avoid rubbing the area, as this can also release more venom. Use a pair of tweezers or the edge of a credit card to carefully remove any tentacles stuck to the skin. And wear gloves or use a cloth to protect your hands from stings. And for most jellyfish, except Portuguese man-o-war, rinse the area with vinegar to neutralize the stingers. I've always heard you can use urine on a jellyfish sting, but that can actually make it worse, and it's a myth, so don't do it. After the vinegar, soak the affected area in hot water for about 20 to 45 minutes. And if the sting covers a large area or you experience severe pain, difficulty breathing, chest pain, or any signs of an allergic reaction, get medical help immediately. Contact with fire coral can cause painful stings and skin irritation. If you get stung by fire coral, follow the same directions as getting stung by a jellyfish. There are also natural hazards to be aware of in the Cayman Islands. The Caribbean hurricane season runs from June to November, so always stay informed about weather conditions. The worst hurricane to hit Grand Cayman was Hurricane Ivan in September of 2004. It was a Category 4 when it impacted the island and had winds of up to 150 miles per hour, with even higher wind gusts. It caused widespread devastation on Grand Cayman, with approximately 95% of buildings damaged and many completely destroyed. There was major flooding, and electricity and water services were disrupted for weeks. But luckily, there were very few fatalities due to early warning systems and evacuation procedures. Also, on Grand Cayman, traffic drives on the left side of the road, and pedestrians do not always have the right of way. So watch where you're driving and walking while you're there. Crime is relatively low, but watch for petty theft. Keep your valuables secure and be cautious in crowded areas. Also, be wary of scams. Avoid unsolicited offers and deals that seem too good to be true, because they probably are too good to be true. And remember, no matter where you're traveling, make sure you inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Nathan Clark disappeared on February 25th, 2012. While outside of Captain Jack's Bar on 7 Mile Beach in Grand Cayman. He was 31 years old, white with tanned skin, blonde hair, blue eyes, and 5 feet 7 inches tall. He was last seen wearing slim-fitting beige Quicksilver board shorts, black Quicksilver flip-flops, carrying a black Fossil wallet, phone, and sunglasses. His phone was later found in the water, but no other clues have ever been found. Anyone with information surrounding Nathan Clark's disappearance can contact the RCIPS at 949-4222 or on the confidential tip line at 949-7777. Now is the time to speak up. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.